Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated December 14th, 2015. We will begin with today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Effingham County Courthouse Gets Productive Reprieve. From Effingham, the threat of execution once hanging over the former Effingham County Courthouse was commuted to a 25-year sentence of explaining to local people who they are and from where they came. The result is that the 12,000 square foot circa 1871 building, cocky as a bullfinch in its bold red brick robes with limestone trim, has now morphed into the Effingham County Museum. The volunteers who pleaded to save it, and who now call themselves the Effingham County Cultural Center and Museum Association, have a 25-year lease from Effingham County, which still owns the place, and the volunteers are hoping for many happy extensions that will carry the courthouse into posterity. It's already come a long way from the dark days of 2009. Back then, after it had been empty for 2 years after the building of a new courthouse, there had been serious deliberations about executing it via bulldozer. But when the county called a public meeting to adjudicate its fate, character witness after character witness arose to plead for its life. The first speaker on his feet was retired high school and college history teacher Delane Donaldson, who is now president of the Museum Association Board. There were 23 speakers after me, and all in favor of saving this wonderful building, he says. An architect had earlier suggested to the county that if it was spared, one possible use would be as some sort of museum. But he said the price tag of professional renovations would run between $3.5 million and $5 million. The association, which numbers 200 members with countless friends in the wider community, has pulled off the job so far by raising $250,000, combined with a bunch of donated labor and materials. All the effort has created a first floor given over to displays of contemporary art and a rich caseload of historical items that have cascaded in through local donors, happy at last to see their treasures find a secure and appreciative home. Upstairs, meanwhile, second floor renovations in the former main courtroom continue to restore the grand 40 by 60 foot chamber to its Victorian splendor. Ugly partitions and added walls were sentenced to demolition to open up the space, lit by 8 windows that stand 12 feet tall. A stunning domed ceiling, now due to receive a fresco with scenes illuminating Effingham history, was revealed when a false ceiling was pulled down. And acres of refurbished maple flooring will be once again topped by ornate birch railings delineating the courtroom area. The original railings had been ripped out by 1960s remodelers with no sense of occasion, but sympathetic eyewitnesses who found them dumped outside kept a few for old time's sake. I brought a woman up here who had worked in the courthouse in the early 1960s, and she said this was a gorgeous place, said Donaldson, 72. She said she had kept some of the railings as souvenirs, and we've been able to copy them for the renovation. The restored courtroom will be used to house everything from a historical lecture series to special events, and you can even book it for your wedding. It will be just beautiful when it's all done, Donaldson adds. Downstairs, meanwhile, visitors from far and wide are discovering that Effingham has a treasure house of history locked up in its historical treasure of a building. There is also a heavy accent on veterans' memorabilia in the displays, which particularly pleased James W. Montgomery, a retired sheriff and Vietnam War veteran just passing through on a family trip from his home in Indiana. What do I like about this place? Montgomery echoed in a booming voice that would still make any perp shudder. The former lawman pondered as he looked around with obvious approval at a blizzard of uniforms, photographs, military equipment, and souvenirs brought back by soldiers. I like everything about this place. Montgomery goes on to say that he suspects that love of God, discipline, and respect are becoming early casualties among our young. He also fears their knowledge of history and the generations that took it on the chin to defend freedom might be sorely lacking, too. But he believes the youthful who wander through Effingham's museum won't have any excuse for not knowing or caring. And those who forget history are condemned to relive it, he warns. Dorothy Ward, his friend and traveling companion, is just glad that Effingham remembered to save the architectural gem of a courthouse building, crowned by a mansard roof and working tower clock showing present time while the interior holds fast to times past. You just don't see buildings like this anymore, she says with a sigh. We've lost ours in our county back home, and it's sad. The sidebar to this article gives details. Ready to sentence yourself to the past? The Effingham County Museum is open 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday and Saturday, March through December. Tours can be arranged at other times by appointment, but a week's notice is preferred. Call 217-540-8566. And an article from Mattoon by Rob Stroud, a Lee News Service writer. One-stop holiday happiness. Willing workers transformed a Lakeland College building on Saturday into a one-stop location for assisting families in financial need at Christmas time. Volunteer coordinators Beth Gillespie and Sarah Dowell said 800 volunteers served 836 families, including 1,978 children, as part of the annual collaboration of area organizations. One Stop provides families with children's gifts, groceries, winter clothes, and more. It's such an incredible thing to be part of, knowing we are serving people who are here in our community and need a little help, Gillespie said. She and Dowell are from the Mattoon Area Family YMCA. Each participating family was given a shopping cart and assigned a personal shopper for the event. Gillespie said the shoppers guided the families through one stop and make sure they visit all the appropriate stations for their family size and the ages of their children. This year's volunteers included many Eastern Illinois University and Lakeland students, including EIU graduate student Rachel Lindhart. She said she volunteered at One Stop for the first time this year to be a translator for Spanish-speaking families. Lindhart said she majored in Spanish as an undergraduate and studied in Mexico and Spain. She said her goal was for her language skills to provide an extra level of comfort for Spanish-speaking families. The registered families filed through the hallways of the West Building as they passed volunteers at various tables. The volunteers gave out socks, hats, gloves, and other clothing, knotted fleece blankets, dental care and hygiene items, household cleaning supplies, books, children's gifts, and more. Volunteers from the Arcola Lions Club passed out turkeys, eggs, boxes of cereal, canned goods, and other food. Club President Diane Murphy said this was their first time to volunteer at One Stop. She added that she hopes to get more Arcola volunteers involved with One Stop and more Arcola families in need signed up for the program. The families at One Stop had the option of getting their children's gifts wrapped and then were helped to their vehicles by volunteers from the Mattoon American Legion Post 88 youth baseball team, nicknamed the Jolly Haulers. Coach Jason Badman said Post 88 players volunteer every year for One Stop. And an article from Decatur, written by Tony Reed, Herald and Review staff writer, actually begins with a picture of a number of students in caps and gown lined up. The title of this article is For Millikan Graduates, A Time to Bloom, subtitled Students Told to Make a Difference in World. The theme of Sunday's 2015 Millikan University Winter Commencement was asking not what your education can do for you, but what you can do for the rest of the world. Undergraduate student speaker Xin Water Zhao, a native of China who now runs a pottery studio in Oriana and teaches Mandarin in Decatur Public Schools, set the tone with a smile in Kirkland Fine Arts Center. Xin, 42, described America as a beautiful country, based on the 24 states she has seen so far, and expected more of the same unless the remaining 26 states are but ugly. As laughter from her fellow 140 graduates and their families died down, Zinn urged them to see themselves as citizens of the world. She said it's time to expand President John F. Kennedy's Ask Not What Your Country Can Do for You challenge and turn it into a mission for students to use their talents to protect the beautiful world and its fragile environment. Quoting Buddha, she said, "One life can change the world." Do you ever wonder if you will make a difference? I intend to make a difference. I truly believe I can. Graduate student speaker John Blakeman, earning a master's degree in nursing, spoke on the subject of change and touched on a shared sense of humanity. Interviewed before the ceremony, he said Millikan graduates have to realize there is much to be done in a world full of people not as fortunate as themselves. Millikan graduates are in a position to make change and to do things to improve our country and improve the community we live in, added Blakeman, 24, a Taylorville native. We have to try to make those improvements. The keynote speaker was Dr. Edward Elliott, a radiation oncologist with Cancer Care Specialists in Decatur. His prescription for a happy, fulfilled life was ignoring material riches and instead enriching existence with people you love and who love you back. He said the essential nature of humanity hasn't changed over the millennia, and illustrated the point by tucking 2,000-year-old fresco pictures of a young couple from the Italian city of Pompeii inside the commencement programs. He said the intelligent-looking couple were timeless, and the secret to doing well in life was equally timeless. Necesse est florescere ubi plantati, he explained. The doctor said that was Latin, for you have to bloom where you are planted. And we have the Dredge Report, Lake Decatur Dredge Report, written by Allison Petty from Decatur. Dredging operations on Lake Decatur will likely wrap up for the winter next week, docking near its current location in the Big Creek area. Crews for Great Lakes Dredge and Dock made good progress this year, said Jerry Stevens, Engineering Services Coordinator for the city's Water Management Department. I think they're pretty close to being on schedule, he said. Next year, they'll be finishing up Big Creek and going into Sand Creek. With a total of 2,781,000 cubic yards of sediment removed, the project is about 28% done, Stevens said. In 2015, crews have taken out 2,424,000 cubic yards. One cubic yard equals about 200 gallons of material, with the $91 million project ultimately expected to increase the lake's capacity by 30%. Crews for subcontractor Terra Contracting Services have already stopped work at the sediment storage site in Oakley, where they have been raising barriers or berms to allow additional capacity. That project faced delays earlier this year because of wet weather, but Stevens said only about 15% of the work remains to be completed next spring. Officials have said that the Big Creek area is one of the places where dredging will have the most visible effect, as a large quantity of sediment is expected to be removed. As they get further up in there, they're going to have a lot more material, Stevens said. It's going to make a big difference up there because some of that sediment up there is right on the surface. Stevens said Great Lakes currently employs 19 people from Macon or the surrounding counties, and 12 who are not. And an editor's note for this article says this is a feature that will appear regularly to provide updates on the status of the $91 million Lake Decatur dredging project. And from Bloomington, pipeline set to pump crude oil. The Enbridge crosses many area counties. Oil starts to flow through the Enbridge pipeline. Construction on the Enbridge pipeline is complete, with delivery of oil expected to begin before the new year. Our original plan was to get it in service before the end of the year, and it looks like we are going to make it, said Jennifer Smith, manager of stakeholder relations. The 167-mile pipeline, known as the Southern Access Extension, will transport crude oil from Enbridge's Flanagan Terminal near Pontiac to a petroleum terminal hub near Patoka in Marion County. The $900 million pipeline crosses seven area counties, including McLean, DeWitt, Macon, Christian, Shelby, Fayette, and Marion. Officials are filling the 24-inch diameter line with oil, a process that takes several days to complete, Smith said. The pipeline will have the capacity to transport 300,000 barrels per day. Once the line fill is complete, the pipeline will be placed into service and oil will begin being delivered to customers, she said. We expect that to occur this month. Crews are continuing to restore property disrupted by the pipeline construction. Much of that work has been stopped due to the weather, she said. We've begun replacing topsoil and the rest will be completed in the spring. Enbridge compensated landowners for damage and loss of crops along the right-of-way for this year. They will also be compensated for a potential decline in yields in future years. And the local briefs include Decatur, bullets hit house. Police are investigating after a home was hit by several bullets early Sunday. Reports say the gunfire came after several men at a party on West Main Street got into a dispute. They later went to an address in the 1300 block of North Walnut Grove Avenue, and shots were heard as a vehicle drove by at 4:58 a.m. The report says a house in the 1300 block was hit at least three times, but no one was hurt. Detectives say they have leads on suspects. From St. Elmo, driver hurt, gets DUI. A driver was injured and later booked on charges of driving under the influence of alcohol after her vehicle left the road and ended up in a field Saturday evening near St. Elmo. State police reports named the driver as Amberly D. Wells, 20, but did not list her address. Police said she had been southbound on County Road 2300, about 2 miles south of St. Elmo, when her vehicle veered off the road about 6:40 p.m., and plowed through a ditch. Wells was treated at HSHS St. Anthony's Memorial Hospital in Effingham. In addition to DUI, she was booked on charges of underage consumption of alcohol and failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. From Decatur, Storybook Hike. A storybook hike will be held on Rock Springs Conservation Area Trails at 2 p.m. Sunday, December 20th. Storybook pages will be posted along the trail to read. The program is free for all ages. Participants must pre-register online by Friday, December 18th at MaconCountyConservation.org. Hikers should meet inside Rock Springs Nature Center. From the At Work page, Lohr joins International Medical Board from Decatur. Dr. Richard Lohr of DISC Centers of America has been appointed to the International Medical Advisory Board on Non-Surgical Spinal Decompression. The board is composed of 20 physicians and includes neurosurgeons, orthopedic surgeons, medical radiologists, chiropractic physicians, and medical physicians. The appointment came during the National Spinal Decompression Certification Program held at Parker University in Dallas, Texas. Doctors from all across the country were in attendance to learn the latest in research, technology, and treatment for the care and alleviation of back pain using spinal decompression. Lohr was among those invited to speak and present cases. Also attending were members of Lohr's staff, Shelley Moma and Amanda Argenbright. DISC Centers of America is located at 2870 North Main Street. Call 217-706-5551 or go to www.decaturdiscenter.com. Under Achievements, on the At Work page, First Mid-Illinois welcomes Schlinkert. From Mattoon, First Mid-Illinois Bank and Trust recently welcomed Bill Schlinkert as Senior Vice President, Lead Trust Executive. In this role, Schlinkert will be responsible for the overall management of the operations and administration functions within the Trust Division. Schlenkert has over 39 years of experience in the financial industry. Prior to his arrival at First Mid, he served as Vice President, Fiduciary Segment Manager, and National Manager for Account Terminations with Wells Fargo in Las Vegas, Nevada. He also held the role of First Vice President, Head of Personal Trust Administration with MB Financial in Rosemont, Illinois. Brad Beasley, Executive Vice President, commented, "I'm pleased to welcome Bill to the First Mid Trust and Wealth Management team. Bill has valuable experience and a track record of providing quality customer service and counsel to his clients." Schlenkert holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration from McMurray College, is a graduate of the American Bankers Association National Trust School and Cannon Financial Institute Trust School. First Mid-Illinois Bankshares, Inc. is the parent company of First Mid-Illinois Bank & Trust and First Mid Insurance Group, a community bank with over $2 billion in assets headquartered in Mattoon. First Mid offers comprehensive banking, trust and wealth management services, and insurance services. First Mid's mission is to fulfill the financial needs of our communities with exceptional personal service, professionalism, and integrity, and deliver meaningful value and results for customers and shareholders. First Mid-Illinois Bank Shares is traded on the NASDAQ under the symbol FMBH. More information about First Mid is available at www.firstmid.com. Also under the Achievements section, from Decatur, WIC honored for mortgage loan services. Town and Country Bank Mortgage Services congratulates Mortgage Loan Officer Carol WIC on receiving an award from the Illinois Housing Development Authority for being the second largest loan producer in Central Illinois. The honor recognizes Carol's extraordinary service and commitment to affordable home ownership. Carol has over 20 years of mortgage lending experience and is active in the community through the Children's Museum of Illinois and the Mount Zion and Decatur Chambers of Commerce. Carol was also the recipient of the 2013 Gold Key Award, the highest recognition award presented by the Decatur Association of Realtors. Town & Country Bank Mortgage Services is a subsidiary of Town & Country Bank and is the third largest lender for Illinois housing programs in central and downstate Illinois. Carol can help your homeownership dreams come true. Call her at 217-329-1675. Town & Country Bank offers comprehensive lines of retail, commercial, agricultural, and mortgage banking, as well as trust and investment services to families, businesses, and organizations. It has 9 offices in Decatur, Mount Zion, Buffalo, Lincoln, Springfield, and People's Prosperity Bank, a division of Town & Country Bank in Quincy. For more information, go to www.townandcountrybank.com. And HSHS St. Mary's Advanced Rehab Center accredited, from Decatur. CARF International has accredited HSHS St. Mary's Hospital for its Advanced Rehabilitation Center program, an inpatient rehabilitation center. The latest accreditation is the third consecutive accreditation CARF has awarded to HSHS St. Mary's Hospital. This accreditation decision is awarded to organizations that, on balance, demonstrate that the persons served benefit from the services. An organization receiving this accreditation has put itself through a rigorous peer review process and has demonstrated to a team of surveyors during an on-site visit that it is committed to conforming to CARF's accreditation conditions and standards. Furthermore, an accredited organization shows progress toward conformance to the Commission's standards and is commended in its quest for the quality, programs, and services it provides. CARF, C-A-R-F, is an independent, nonprofit accredited body whose mission is to promote the quality, value, and optimal outcomes of services through a consultative accreditation process that centers on enhancing the lives of the persons served. Founded in 1966 as the Commission on Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities, and now known as CARF International, the accreditation body establishes consumer-focused standards to help organizations measure and improve the quality of their programs and services. For more information about the accreditation process, please visit the CARF website at www.carf.org. For further information about HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, please visit www.stmarysdecatur.com. And a list of meetings in the area, government meetings, and other activities of interest to the public in Decatur and Macon County. Today, Monday, December 14th, Argenta Oriana School District Board of Trustees at 6 p.m. at the Middle School High School Library, 500 North Main Street, Argenta. Argenta Sanitary District Board of Trustees at 5:30 p.m. Village Hall, 330 North Warren Street. Hickory Point Fire Protection District Board of Trustees, 6 p.m. Firehouse, 450 South Smith Street, Forsyth. Illini Township Board of Trustees, 7 p.m. Township Building, 177 South Washington Street, Warrensburg. Long Creek Fire Protection District Board of Trustees, 7 p.m., 2625 South Mount Zion Road. Moroa Forsyth Board of Education, 7 p.m., High School Library, 610 West Washington Street, Moroa. Richland Community College Board of Trustees, 6:15 p.m., Boardroom, 1 College Park, Decatur. South Wheatland Township Board of Trustees, 7 p.m., Elwin Town Hall, 1623 West Elwin Road, Decatur. For Tuesday, Harristown Township Board of Trustees, 7:30 p.m., 195 North Meridian Street. Macon County Board of Health, 6:30 p.m., Macon County Health Department, 1221 East Condit Street in Decatur. Mount Zion Board of Education, 7 p.m., South Wing Junior High School, 315 South Henderson Street. Oriana Village Board of Trustees, 7 p.m., Whitmore Oriana Community Center, 407 South View Street. Richland Community College Board of Trustees, 5:30 p.m., Boardroom, 1 College Park, Decatur. Wednesday, Decatur Civic Center Board at 8 a.m., Civic Center Meeting Room, first floor in the Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. Decatur Historical and Architectural Sites Commission, 4 p.m., Council Chambers, 3rd floor, Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. Decatur Park District Board of Commissioners at noon, Administration Building, 620 East Riverside Avenue. Macon County Conservation District, 5:30 p.m., Rock Springs Nature Center, 3939 Nearing Lane, Decatur. Niantic Park Board, 6:30 p.m., Park Building, 130 West North Street. Sanitary District of Decatur Board of Trustees, 5:30 p.m., 501 South Dipper Lane. On Thursday, the Decatur Human Relations Commission at 3:30 p.m., Council Chambers, 3rd floor, Decatur Civic Center. The Decatur Public Library Board of Trustees, 4:30 p.m. at the library, 130 North Franklin. And we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the program, the Decatur Herald and Review, dated December 14th, 2015. Please stay tuned.